everyone. We're back with another episode of Sneedcast Industry Update. You know, our series that keeps you updated with our ever-changing industry. For those of you that have been watching the series for a while now, you know how this goes. But for those of you that are new, welcome. We'll be covering the latest in manufacturing, packaging, coding, sustainability, and much more. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll be discussing topics ranging from 2024 business regulations to revolutionizing manufacturing with generative AI to closing down Texas railroads indefinitely, and finally passing wastewater to drinking water legislation. So, starting off, regulations are created to improve business dealings, discourage unfair or illegal business activity, and protect workers, but while they're implemented to protect, they can unintentionally impact others. Take small businesses, for example. They're often affected by higher costs and possibly penalties for failing to comply. According to Tom Sullivan, the Vice President of Small Business Policy for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, for a small business, you have a higher cost per employee when it comes to complying with regulations than your larger business competitors. Since 2024 just kicked off, we figured that now would be a good time to put some upcoming regulations on your radar. Small businesses will now need to register with FinCEN, better known as the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, in 2024, thanks to the Corporate Transparency Act passed back in 2021. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, said that the Corporate Transparency Act was intended to get a look inside shell companies and crack down on attempts to hide identities and launder money through the financial system. Businesses with more than 20 employees and more than $5 million in sales can qualify for exemptions, but for the 32 million small businesses that aren't exempt, owners and part owners must register personal information with FinCEN. The deadline for existing businesses has now been extended to January 1st of 2025. Businesses that are created after January 1st will have 90 days to comply. If they choose not to, then they could be facing penalties as steep as $10,000. Another regulation the businesses now have to adhere to as well is that of reporting certain amounts to the IRS. The IRS delayed a requirement that payments over $600 via third-party providers such as Venmo, Zelle, Cash App, and other online marketplaces have to be reported. This requirement, part of the American Rescue Act, was delayed back in 2023. Still, this year, businesses will encounter a threshold of $5,000 for the tax year as part of a phase-in to eventually implement the $600 reporting threshold. There's also a new reporting requirement for small business loans. We all know that it's notoriously difficult for small businesses to secure loans because they often don't have profit or track record needed to assure banks of their ability to pay back the money. Women and minority-owned businesses find it especially difficult to get loans. In an effort to have less discrimination and more transparency around the loan process, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau said it would require banks to start reporting the demographics and income of small business loan applicants. The aim is to create a database similar to the mortgage industry. Bank regulators have collected data on residential mortgage applicants for decades, including race, geography, whether the loan was approved, and the interest rate. The Home Mortgage Disclosure Act has long been used by regulators and the public to look for potential signs of bank discriminating against borrowers. Small business advocate organizations say that these new requirements will slow down the loan process and could make it even more difficult to get loans. The regulations will bury small businesses and financial institutions with costly and time-consuming paperwork. It could also expose small businesses, borrowers, and lenders to increased litigations and privacy risks. The National Labor Relations Board issued a revised joint employer rule. This means that the two companies that are both responsible for some decisions about employees, such as franchisors and franchisees, can both be liable for unfair labor practices. The rules not only apply to labor relations, but also to every business that falls under the National Labor Relations Act. Union and workers groups say that the new rule will benefit and help protect workers, but small business advocacy groups say it's unfairly burdensome to small businesses. The National Labor Relations Board extended the effective date of the new joint employer rule to February 26 of 2024. This last change is one that we're sure more workers have been eagerly anticipating. More than 20 states will have a minimum wage increase this year. In addition to an increase in minimum wage, the Department of Labor in August announced the proposed rule that would let 3.6 million more workers qualify for overtime. The proposed regulation would require employers to pay overtime to salaried workers who are in executive, administrative, and professional roles but make less than $1,059 a week or $55,068 a year for full-time employees. When the final rule is out, it will face legal challenges because raising the threshold would have a big impact on so many businesses. But we're sure that it's all for the best. Generative AI is everywhere, and it's predicted that the technology will boost industry revenues by enabling faster, more precise innovation and automating processes. ABI Research predicts that generative AI will unlock $10.5 billion in new revenues for the manufacturing industry. James Iverson, a manufacturing and industrial industry analyst at ABI Research, said, "The development of generative AI will come in three waves as the technology matures, with manufacturing seeing the largest revenue growth during the second and third waves. During the second and third waves of adoption, generative AI will be deployed into four domains of manufacturing: design, engineering, production, and operations. Manufacturers are now actively developing generative AI strategies and roadmaps, assessing their infrastructure readiness, and working with partners to deploy new capabilities." In what areas is manufacturing sure to see generative AI dominate in? Generative AI is set to help streamline product innovation and design. It can accelerate a team's ability to discover new materials and product formulations. Generative AI will also transform maintenance protocols since it's capable of providing interactive insights that teams can then use to optimize routine maintenance schedules, diagnose issues, and drive insights on which solutions to use. Generative AI is making it possible to improve product quality through the combined power of predictive analytics and high-resolution cameras. It also makes it possible to spot issues that human vision might miss. Generative AI has made it easier for manufacturers to search and find safety guidelines, regulatory information, work instructions, and other critical pieces of content. Chatbots and virtual assistants enable employees to quickly access relevant content in a natural language format. Resources like this are continuously learning and updating information. Drawn-out training sessions are a thing of the past. Generative AI supercharges interactive training by incorporating operator actions and machine performance data insights. Operators receive customized skills training that enhances their performance, making it far more effective than generic guidance. The last area of manufacturing that generative AI is revolutionizing is the traditional chatbot, seen as though it frustrates consumers with its limited capabilities. AI chatbots enable natural interactions and empower customer service and sales staff with real-time customer and product insights, which ultimately lead to faster problem resolution. The manufacturing sector will undoubtedly lead the charge in redefining what's possible through innovation, efficiency, and improved quality. The federal government has closed railroad crossings in two Texas border towns, Eagle Pass and El Paso. Customs and Border Protection made this decision in response to the surge of illegal entries, with as many as 10,000 people entering the U.S. illegally every day through the southwest border this month. The move aims to free up custom officers to assist overwhelmed U.S. Border Patrol agents dealing with an increasing number of migrants. Politicians and rail companies, including Union Pacific and BNSF, have criticized the closure, emphasizing its broader impact. Tony Gonzalez, a Republican congressman, voiced concerns during a news conference stating, "This train impacts all of America, goods that are going all over America. The closure affects 24 trains daily, moving various goods like agricultural products, automotive parts, finished vehicles, and consumer goods." Union Pacific and BNSF, the directly affected railroads, estimate significant losses in goods, wages, and transportation costs. Union Pacific estimates daily losses exceeding $200 million if the crossings in both cities remain closed. Stellantis, an automaker, expressed concerns about potential production impacts at its North American facilities due to the border shutdowns. The National Grain and Feed Association and the North America Export Grain Association raised concerns about stalled grain and oil seed shipments affecting important export markets in Mexico. While trucks are a potential alternative, it would be logistically challenging to match the volume currently handled by trains. Union Pacific estimates it would take around 1 million trucks to move the same volume currently transported by rail. Michael Seifert, president of the National Grain and Feed Association, warns of critical tightness in feeding supplies for livestock feeders in Mexico if the crossings don't reopen promptly. Migrants often board trains as they travel through Mexico, but Union Pacific and BNSF use various measures to deter and detect contraband and illegal entry attempts. Union Pacific has found only 5 migrants attempting to enter the U.S. illegally on its trains in the last 5 weeks. The closure of railroad crossings in Eagle Pass and El Paso raised concerns about its impact on cross-border trade, affecting major railroads, industries, and potentially disrupting the supply chain. The move comes amid a surge in illegal entries, prompting a shift in operations to address the challenges at the border. the economic consequences, especially for industries like automotive. Okay. The economic consequences, especially for industries like automotive and agriculture, are significant, and stakeholders are closely monitoring the situation for potential resolutions. If we have any updates, we're sure to see them in our next industry update. California regulators have approved new rules allowing water agencies to recycle wastewater directly into the pipes that carry drinking water. This marks a significant step for California, which has faced challenges securing reliable sources of drinking water for its over 39 million residents. The decision signals a shift in public opinion on the use of recycled wastewater for drinking, reflecting the state's changing approach to water sustainability. Water Reuse California's Jennifer West emphasizes the preciousness of water in California. Water is so precious in California, it is important that we use it more than once. California has a history of using recycled wastewater for various purposes, such as ice rinks, ski slopes, and agriculture irrigation. However, direct use for drinking water has been a new development. Multiple extreme droughts, including the recent driest 3-year period on record, have prompted the state to explore innovative solutions to address water scarcity. The new rules emphasize stringent treatment of wastewater, ensuring the removal of all pathogens and viruses, even if not present in the wastewater. The treated water is of drinking water quality, says Darren Palamas, Deputy Director of the Division of Drinking Water. Building treatment facilities for direct wastewater recycling is expensive and time-consuming, making it initially viable for larger, well-funded cities. The initiative aims to provide a drought-resistant water supply for future demands. Joaquin Esquivel, chair of the Water Resources Control Board, addresses the commonality of drinking recycled water. Anyone out there taking drinking water downstream from a wastewater treatment plant discharge, which I promise you you're all doing, is already drinking toilet to tap. Water agencies will need to garner public support and address concerns about the safety and quality of recycled water for drinking. Educational initiatives, public tours, and transparency are highlighted to alleviate concerns. The Metropolitan Water District of Southern California and other major water agencies express support for the new rules, planning substantial water recycling projects. The rules are expected to enable new water recycling initiatives across the state. This episode of Sneed Pack Industry Update is sponsored by our latest innovation, our Sneed Pack Case Erectors. Elevate your packaging efficiency with Sneed Pack Case Erectors. Is manual box assembly hindering your business growth? Sneed Pack has the solution for you. Our case erectors, also known as box erectors, redefine packaging automation, assembling up to 10 flawless boxes per minute, eliminating human error and minimizing machine jams. By streamlining processes and reducing the need for manual labor, Sneed Pack case erectors not only enhance efficiency, but they also cut costs. Now's your chance to explore our full line of end-of-line packaging needs, from case sealers to label applicators. Upgrade your packaging game with Sneed Pack. Like always, stay tuned for our next episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, and make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. Also, let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from you all. We'll see you next time. Bye.